Welcome back to On The Record. It's 4 minutes past 12 on Sunday, the 18th of August. Gavin Riley with you in News Talk for the next hour. Now, I'm joined in studio by Simon McGarr, who's a solicitor at McGarr Solicitors and a director of Data Compliance Europe. Simon, we've asked you to come in because you're one of the people who, in some ways, instigated the furore that we've seen in the last 72 hours over the public services card. You might start by bringing us back to when you first corresponded with the Department of Social Protection around your concerns about the legality of what they were doing with the card in the first place.
The first indication they had from my neck of the woods that I didn't think it was a good idea was my wife rang them up when she got a letter and they said, come along and have an appointment for the public services card. And you should come along, they said, because you may need it in future to continue to get child benefit payments.
So it wasn't instigated by some immediate need. They just said, do it now because you might need it at some unstated point in future.
And so she rang up and she said, it's okay, you can give that appointment to someone else who'd like to do it. I wouldn't like to do it. And they said, well, I mean, you might lose your child benefit payment. And she said, on what basis might I lose my child benefit payment? And they said, well, I mean, it could happen in the future.
So at some unstated point, if they were to change the policy in some unstated
way. So from my point of view, once I heard that this exchange had occurred, it seemed to me like this was not a project which was advancing really in a kind of a sustainable manner. After all, getting people to come in and having a biometric photograph taken, a facial recognition scan done, all of that is a very heavy interference with the state's relationship with the public. And to do it without there being any citable reason for it to happen, why you should do it, seemed to me to be a thread that I started to pull on. And once I started to pull on it, it turned out there wasn't a basis.
We'll come back to the point about the relationship between the state and its people in just a moment. When you started to pull on that thread, what was the department's institutional response to you?
Denial. They simply weren't willing to accept any of the things that I was proposing. Oddly, I discovered by accident, having done an FOI on an unrelated matter, that everything I said in public, including probably eventually this radio interview, is recorded and then circulated by amongst senior management in the department. They were apparently getting an update on any tweet I put out, including anybody who retweeted it. It was really an extraordinary level of attention.
On the premise or the portrayal that you were some sort of a crank?
Well, certainly, as I've learned in recent days, they were contacting outlets where I would appear or who gave coverage to our position. And they would tell the outlets, well, I mean, I don't know why you're letting these cranks on. So obviously, their position was that they didn't want to argue this in public. They didn't want to argue its merits, but they also didn't want to have the story to be given any attention. Now, taken together, that seems to me to be a red flag as to the legitimacy of any kind of government project, let alone a national database.
You made the point there a few minutes ago that the idea of asking someone to come in and having a biometric facial scan and taking all those details on file is a big, you know, evolution of the relationship between the state and its people. A lot of people have said in the last 72 hours that they don't really understand what a lot of the concern is, because when the department legislated for this, at least the one sole reliable, you know, legislated purpose that this card had was to try and ensure the proper access to social welfare, to try and clamp down on any fraud of same, and that they had no problem with that. And also that they say that the card has a lot of convenient uses and that it is quite handy to be able to apply for new online welfare payments or to apply for a driving test or to apply to have a passport renewed and simply to use this card as the means of ID in doing so.
Well, okay, so there's two or three things to unpack out of that. And it seems like an instinctively easy thing to say. Well, sure, look, it'd be great if we only had one card and it would act like you know, when we get into our buildings and work, we'd beep the state and the doors would open.
But people always complain that our organs of the state don't talk to each other and that why is this organisation looking for my PPS number when another organ of the state already has it?
Yes, so let's say you wanted to go and get your passport. PSC card requirements, you went it on, you filled out a form, you went to the guards, you got them to stamp the back of the photo and so on and so forth. Now, you have to do all of that and get a PSC card. And this is one of the things that the Data Protection Commissioner addressed, that despite the statements that it was to make life easier to access.
Yes, was the government's pretense not that you would just have the PSC card and you do it once, and that would be your ID established forevermore?
Yes, and what actually happened was the PSC card was bolted on as a requirement on top of all the existing requirements. And it was a gatekeeper approach. We won't let you get your access to school buses, your passport, your driving license. Mm. We won't let you have those things unless you go and you comply with the public services card. So rather than the public service card being this kind of somehow totem that would allow easy access, which hasn't happened anywhere, by the way. There isn't a single piece of the state apparatus which has been streamlined down as a result of the public services card. All they've done is they put the public service card on top of the existing bureaucratic requirements.
I don't know if that's necessarily fair, because as it happens, I've gone through the process of applying for child benefit for the first time in the last month or so, and there were two ways of doing it. You can either do it on paper in the traditional way, or they said, if you've already got a public services card, then you can create something called a MyGovID, which is some sort of a electronic version of SAME, a user name and password. And once you've got that, then you don't need to present any other ID. You can simply just pop onto welfare.ie, enter your username and password, and apply for a new benefit that you were entitled to that way. And it does streamline the whole process.
My child was born, my first child was born prior to this having happened, and I didn't need to do any of the things that you've described. Mm. I just got child benefit as a result of notifying the state that the child had been born.
Well, my point is that this is a streamlined way of doing that.
But it's only streamlined if you create an alternative, more bureaucratic method, which is what has happened there. So you've got two paths, the path that was there already, a more bureaucratic method, and then you put a gate in front of the path that was there already by having a public services card in front of it. And you say, well, how handy these public services cards are. So the core is, and by the way, the mygov.ie is still under investigation. It's still part of the same problem. But I wanted to go back to the suggestion that there was good legislation for the public services card for use by social welfare. Mm. In fact, there was never any legislation for the use of the public services card by use of social welfare. The legislation dates back to the days when they had what was known as a PPSN card. It was an old white card with the flying bird on it and so on. So the legislation related to that card. And what happened was that the state decided that rather than, and I think there was an interesting talk that the Data Protection Commissioner gave to the Future of Privacy Forum in Israel recently, where she described the legal basis for using the public services card as hanging off 17 separate statutory instruments and a number of different sort of sub clauses of different sections across various parts of the statute book. There isn't a legal basis for the public services card as we know it now for any purpose, because there was never a debate. It was never passed. A law was never passed.
But a lot of people would have understood that what the Data Protection Commissioner found on Friday was that there was at least some, albeit very limited and not nearly at the degree to which the government presented, that there was some legislative backdrop for using the PSC.
Sure, and I'd like to see the report, because this is a nuance that we need to tease out. After all, if I come up to your front door and you're running an exciting party inside, and you're going to require,
which is very unlikely,
but and that's fine. But let us imagine that you say, "I need ID," and I say, "Here are my available IDs," and I fan them out, and you've got my passport and my passport card and a Garda card and a public services card and all those things. Mm. If you say, "Oh, that public services card, I'll accept that." That's one form where it is acceptable that you can do it. But that's not that I'm compelled to produce that card and no other card. So really the nuance comes down to whether it's that you may continue to use it as a form of acceptable ID, which no one would object to, or whether the nuance is you may only use it as the only acceptable form of ID.
But just to bring you back a step, so you're saying that you'd like to see the full report because you're still not convinced that there is, in fact, any legislative basis for requiring the PSC in any form.
And without the full report, we simply can't have this discussion in a meaningful fashion. I mean, we're now in a ridiculous situation where the Department of Social Protection knows what the Department, the Data Protection Commissioner, has told it that is a critical matter of public importance, and it's not telling the public what that critical matter of public importance is.
That the Data Protection Commissioner is somehow controlling the data when it comes to that report, or at least allowing it to be withheld.
There's never an occasion where a guard or a regulator can do an investigation into a body, and then the body gets to decide, would you like to tell people the outcome or not? would you like to make that public or not? This is an absurdity. So, I mean, I don't think it can last long. I think really this is buying time by the department for a response. It's surprising they felt they needed to buy time, as they've had a draft report, which we've been told hasn't significantly changed in its outcome for over a year.
Well, they've been saying that although they got that draft a year ago, that they made submissions to that and that they weren't to know that their submissions might not be taken on board or rejected.
Well, I mean, we all have disappointments in our life, but at the same time, I think they did kind of get a kind of a hint as to what way the decision making was going, since they had an actual draft report telling them the basis of all those decisions.
What do you make of Leo Varadkar's comment yesterday that he now wants to, he's telling people first of all not to cut up a card if they already have it, the 3.2 million people who already do, that's 2/3 of the population of the state, and that secondly that he wants to look at some means by which he can introduce a law which effectively puts the PSC back on the pedestal that the government thought it was on, or at least acted as if it was on until 3 days ago.
Well, until we see the detail of the law, obviously, we can only work at it in, as a what would... Well,
first of all, can they do that? You can't retrospectively do it, though, can
you? No, you can't fix the past, first of all. So let's start there. So you can't retrospectively legalise a thing that was illegal previously. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you can't take up a piece of national legislation and use it to overrule EU law. EU law is superior to national legislation. And we've had a sequence of cases recently, specifically, most recently, in fact, involving the Irish Workplace Relations Commission, where the Department of Justice appealed a long-standing position of EU law to the Court of Justice and argued that it shouldn't apply. And the Court of Justice knocked us back and told us, no, it does apply. This is in a case, the Workplace Relations Commission case, quite recently, which said that every state agency or body has a duty to apply EU law, even if the national law in which, under which they're told they're meant to apply conflicts with that. They just ignore the national law and they apply EU law. Now, if we had the state passing a national law, which was contrary to EU law, which is the only way that you could permit this this data sharing project to go ahead, if you had that happening, you'd have a war between the various bodies of the state where they would all argue as to whether or not this position was legal or not legal.
So what is the EU law that, that forbids this? And then how come other European countries are able to have a kind of a formal national ID and that that doesn't come across those same problems?
Well, first of all, if the Taoiseach intends to actually bring in a formal ID, that's the very point that they've always argued the public services card wasn't a formal ID. So if we're now to have a formal ID card, I'd love to have that debate. I'm confident I would at least hold my own in respect of that.
What's the problem with a national ID card?
By and large, my problem is with a national ID card in the abstract.
In
the abstract, as opposed to this one, which is basically a kludge and a mess. Even a well-designed national ID card is a... is not the right relationship between the state and the citizen, and it's meaningful that common law countries such as Britain and Ireland do not have national ID cards, and that civil law countries such as France and Germany and so on, that comes out of their tradition of the state of having the first call upon the citizen, so to speak. Yeah. So, for example, if you go to France, our normal common law tradition of people being innocent and until found guilty, this was reversed by the Napoleonic Code, that the that judges are independent arbiters. There they have judge investigative judges, etc., etc. So this is a completely different legal system to ours, where this system is accepted. And I don't think that is the right approach for Ireland. I don't think it's good. And I think that we're moving into a world where the governments of any liberal democracy requiring its citizens to answer to them for their identity and to have the power to reject your identity, to change it, to alter it, to say that we're restricting your records, that's not the correct approach.
To go back to the earlier point that I made, that a lot of people would like the state to at least be a little bit more organised in how it retains people's data, and the idea that, you know, if one organisation has your PPS number, no one else should have to ask for it. Jerry in Waterford is one of several people who have texted in to say that with regard to the public service card, the only people that have a problem with it are the people who have something to hide. As a PAYE employee, revenue know everything about me. There are a lot of people who wouldn't want that. I think it's a great idea to stop fraud. Someone else says this is a lot of fuss about nothing. If you have nothing to hide, then it harms no one. It's disgraceful to think that there's now talk of a class action lawsuit over the public service card. It's me, the taxpayer, who will ultimately foot the bill. It'll take from health, education, etc. I have one and I have no problem with it and I have nothing to hide, says Ellen and Carlo. So what do you say to people like that?
Well, I mean, first of all, they're entitled to that opinion. That's a perfectly legitimate position for them to take, provided they recognise that it's perfectly fine to take whatever steps in relation to ID cards as are legal. But I'd hope that all of the listeners would agree that it isn't the case that the state should be exempted from the law and that it can act extra legally and break the law and do what it pleases contrary to the law. You know, the rule of law is a fairly basic provision, and I think all the listeners would agree with it. I mean, I think the thing coming through is we wish that things were more efficient. Well, agreed there, here. And obviously I feel that the way to become more efficient is to actually pay attention to what the laws are. We wouldn't be in a mess if this had been done in a lawful manner. And there, I mean, to defend myself from the suggestion that I'm just being negative
someone says you're making a mountain out of a molehill, basically.
To defend myself, I anticipate such a suggestion. These are the data rights of 3 million individuals, minimum 3 million individuals. They have been taken and they have been shared without their knowledge as to where they're being shared and for what purpose out of a database which was collected for one ostensible purposes, social welfare payments, and put into another database held by the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. And that's Pascal Donoghue's department. That database, I've got a copy of the, under FOI, of the data sharing agreement between the Department of Social Welfare and DPER. And it states that the purpose that it gives the Department of Social Welfare the purpose of collecting data so it can be put into this other database. That database is then intended to be shared out across the entire of the state.
So we have this central database now with 3 million to 3.2 million people's data on it, collected for whatever ostensible purpose it was. It's now there. The Data Protection Commissioner, we presume, again, you make the point, we haven't seen the report, we presume that they are looking for its deletion. Should we just go about deleting all of that, even if it means that some of that data, which may have been collected for a good purpose and with legal backing, now has to be recollected afterwards? That the state should delete all this data and then start from scratch again?
What the Data Protection Commissioner has correctly said, and I may have said hard words about the commission at the time, but she's come out very solidly down the line as to what is legal here. She has said that all the data collected for every purpose that wasn't social welfare was illegally collected and is illegally being held. That means that entire database held by DPER is illegal because none of that is collected
for social
welfare.
Does that not
render
the cards that are already issued sort of moot? Because if you voluntarily look for a card so that you could use it for your bus pass or to renew for something else, if the data behind that card no longer exists, then presumably the card itself is also worthless.
Well, if I reach into my pocket, I can pull out the passport card, which is actually accepted as an ID card in every country in Europe other than Ireland, ironically.
But it wouldn't be if you didn't have a passport.
And the passport database, for which it is the purpose for which it was, is there. But it's not shared across the entire of the public services willy-nilly. It is held, collected for a purpose, and the passport and the passport card are both issued in relation to that purpose. I can choose, and I do. I think the passport is very helpful in order to prove my ID for travelling, etc. I have no problem with that. The difficulty is the uses to which the data is put back in the database. The passport database is used for the purposes of issuing passports and nothing else.
If there is an internal note in the Department of Social Protection about your appearance on this show today, what do you imagine they're saying about you?
Can't imagine it's complimentary based on the previous notes that I got. But what I will say is this. One of the talking points which have emerged since the report is an argument that surely everyone acknowledges our intentions were good while we illegally collected a database on 3 million people, and at some point the intentions were good, absolutely, in the sense that nobody intended to break the law when this was being designed. The question is, at what point did they become aware that the law was being broken and carried on anyway? And I do know that the journal.ie received documents from between the Department of Transport and the Road Safety Authority, which said that Shane Ross had received a verbal briefing from the Attorney General in March 2018.
So the Attorney General was giving advice nearly 18 months ago that there was already some legal concern or ambiguity about this.
Well, on foot of the conversation, having cited the conversation as the reason for doing it, the Department of Transport instructed the Road Safety Authority to stop you requiring the public services card in their online application. And the Road Safety Authority complained that they'd spend millions building that. So in March 2018, Shane Ross took the right decision on Attorney General's advice, and he said, no, we won't do that. Now, the question is, at what point did everybody else in the public service become aware of the Attorney General's opinion, and why did they take no action from March 2018 to now?
A question I'm sure we'll spend the next couple of days looking for an answer to. We're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Simon, thank you very much for coming into studio this morning. Simon McGarr is a solicitor at McGarr Solicitors, and he's also Director of Data Compliance Europe. If you missed any of that conversation, it will be available as a podcast shortly on newstalk.com or via the Go Loud app. That's if you're a casual listener, a curious citizen, or even a civil servant in the Department of Social Protection who's charged with monitoring all of Simon's various media appearances.